Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Hannah Peterson's quietly compelling slow burn feature debut, set in the final weeks of a high school academic year, explores the long-term psychological and emotional aftermath of a school shooting on its survivors, graduating students, and faculty, with a number of outstanding performances in this film. It's just a remarkably well-done film about grief, about family, about community, about what's next, about moving forward with your life after such a traumatic event. And done in just an absolutely beautiful way. The film is called The Graduates, and we're joined today by the director and writer, Hannah Peterson. Hannah, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. The event that starts this film in motion is unfortunately way, way too prevalent and common in America today. What was the impetus? What was the inspiration for writing The Graduates?
Well, I was really interested in telling a contemporary story that, you know, that portrayed what it's like to come of age in the American public school system. It's a topic I've explored in my shorts prior to this. And so I started about just how I have with all of my work, which is just interviewing high schoolers and recent graduates. And I just asked about their experience, you know, their fears, their anxieties, and sort of like the highs and lows of high school. And this was back in 2018. And nearly everyone I spoke to mentioned a sort of ambient anxiety about safety in their schools. It seemed like on any given day, a school shooting could happen to them or someone they knew. You know, everyone was versed in lockdown drills, and many had stories of times that they thought something bad was actually happening at their schools during one of these drills. And I think I was just really struck by this through line that whether students had experienced gun violence in their schools or not, it was, you know, an anxiety that they all held, and wanted to explore the human side of these stories, because I realized it's sort of a collective trauma that was being carried around by this generation. So that was the impetus and the starting point.
I'm just going to share something, because I'm much older, and I'm just trying to think of something that was something like this when I was in school. And this really does date me, so I'll say that we used to have drills in case there was an atomic bomb attack on America. We used to get under our desk in case that was the drill. And it was always the same Friday afternoon we would do it. But the difference, and this is a huge, significant difference between, you know, being scared of a, you know, an atom bomb being dropped on you, as opposed to what we're talking about, school shootings, is It had never happened except in Japan twice during World War II, but it had never happened in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's happening hundreds of times a year in the lives of American students. So it is something that is, what's the word, foreseeable, or it's not science fiction at all. So no. I think that is such a profound zeitgeist to be walking around with.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting what you pointed out about even the atomic bomb drills that you grew up with. I mean, look, guns are the number one killer of children, teens, and young adults in America. And I think this generation has really been forced to grow up living in fear in places that, you know, are meant to be safe, that schools, grocery stores, et cetera. You know, even when I was growing up in 2002, I want to say, when I was a junior in high school, this was, you know, before, this was post-Columbine, but, you know, before what is now, you know, sort of like constant succession of media coverage around gun violence and school shootings, there was a series of coordinated attacks around the Virginia, DC area where I lived. And I watched my school harden. They brought in resource guards, metal detectors, and we started to have active shooter drills. And I just remember that experience of, you know, safety in your school and your neighborhood being punctured. And I think now it's even more emphasized. So yeah, it's a scary, you know, thing that we are living with now, and something that I think it makes sense that so many people, even if they hadn't experienced it in their lives, like felt that anxiety about whether or not it could happen at their school.
And just the experience of walking into a school where you're going to be learning about math and science and philosophy and the things that are going to enrich your life and make you a better person, and to be walking in a minimum security lockdown kind of potential facility is, that is something I would have a hard time, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the film, because for, moving away from that, because I fear we could spend way too much time, or I could anyways, talking about that as a factor, but finding the right tone to tell this story. And I think one of the strengths of the film is it doesn't linger on anything long enough to be anything more than it is in the context of the story and the storytelling and the character development, which I found such an accomplishment, such a strength of the film, is that we don't spend any more time than is needed to tell a story, as opposed to some pointing at something as some root cause, if you will, of the film. I just want to compliment you on that, because I think it's just such a beautifully done part of the film. Is that something you thought about? I mean, it's something that you know, what went into your mindset telling this story that way?
I thank you for saying that. I think tone is something that is always the hardest to capture, because it's something that I think as a storyteller and filmmaker, you feel inside of yourself, and you're along the way of telling, of making a film in particular, there's so many people that you collaborate with to bring it to life, whether that's crew members or cast members. And you're just hoping that all of what you hope to translate, you know, makes it to the screen. And to me, that's like what tone is like all of those voices and hands coming together to ensure that it's told in the right way. You know, I think I really wanted this film to center on the lives of the survivors. And I always knew it would be a quiet film. I wanted to really center it into these really private moments that people were feeling. This was meant to portray people's different experiences of grief. The three characters in the film, I think, have very different grief journeys and timelines. And so I think just centering it on those more private and intimate moments that each of them are experiencing kind of helps to set the tone of the film. It was obviously important to try to tell the story in a way that was trauma-informed, was really intentional about what it showed and didn't show. And I think all of those things kind of come together to establish the tone that you're talking about.
And the film is about these high school kids, students who are about to graduate. And so there's the whole, you know, life thing, dating and relationships, friendships, family. And all of those things are just pitch perfect in terms of, you know, just regular stuff, just getting, you know, getting over a particular relationship or getting accepted into college, or, you know, all those things are in here. But I call this the part of the film dealing with this shooting is the ether of the film, and everything else is, as you, I think you said, framed in that ether, or framed in that, about that particular part of the story. Is that, am I being fair to the film?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like the school shooting is like the circumstance of these characters' lives, but there's so many more dimensions to them. And I think that this film is really trying to show that. It's in so, I mean, I was really struck by the idea that high school now is like not, you know, everyone has this universal experience of coming of age in high school. Like, it's really what I went through is probably has a lot of parallels to what you went through, to what someone today goes through when they're in high school. And that's sort of the incredible thing, is that, you know, students are having to continue to grow up, like graduate high school, date, all these things that happen when you're coming of age. There's this, like you said, I think that's a really great word choice. There's this like ether, there's this atmosphere that is different. And I think the film is trying to like subtly evoke that, but still centered on the fact that this is still high school is high school. And that's like an access point for anybody to watch this film and see themselves in the characters.
Well, as I was watching it, I was struck by, I hadn't seen a frame of it, but I was trying to imagine what it would be like. And I was thinking, well, there's Gus Van Sant's elephant, right?
Yes.
As a touchstone. But in some ways, the tone of it feels more like Virgin Suicides to me. There's something about the unspoken, the unseen that becomes the things that take over the perception of the film. I don't want to sound too cinema, but in describing this, because as you described, they're just kids trying to get through, and there are all kinds of different cross currents and relationships and the rest of it. But yeah, it's I have to talk about these performers who I have to confess, other than John Cho and Kelly O'Sullivan, I had not seen before, and Mina Sundwall, Alex Hibbert, Yasmine Fletcher, and Manly Maria Dazia. All of these are just so well done. They're all so incredibly interesting characters that are developed here. I don't know how you found all these people to be in this film, but I'd like to hear a little bit about how you cast this film.
Thank you. I feel like as a director, that's the biggest compliment you can have is around the performances. This is such a special cast that came to be a part of this film. And, I think that everybody, this is a low budget film, which is always like, a harbinger for like people were did this because they were passionate about it, And I think that that was really the attracting point for everyone that became a part of this, whether they were cast or crew. For the two main characters who are played by Mina and Alex, we did a national casting call and saw hundreds of incredible actors for those roles. And I think Mina, it was really important to me that this, like, I am honored by the fact that you didn't recognize a lot of the people in the film because I wanted this to feel like it happened in anybody's backyard, like it fell from the sky. And I wanted this film to be a vehicle for a discovery cast, to give someone a shot who hadn't had that before. And Mina was certainly that. I think she's someone who's been, working for her whole life in this industry. And it's her first time leading a feature, and she does an incredible job. And she entered the role really with a great deal of empathy and understanding. Her and Alex are both really close in age to the characters. And so I think that that was also like an important part of it is they have their own context and experience of being in high school and growing up in America, and they brought that to the roles.
Just superbly done. The interaction between them all. Yeah, I mean, I've been in high school for a while, and everybody, these were the same kind of, cross currents that you when I was in high school, and anyone who watches this will be able to understand and relate to all of it, just in terms of just everything in high school seems a little more impactful for the rest of your life than it probably is. And that's the kind of this sort of conveying that sense of if I don't get to the school I want to go to, oh my God, my world's going to end. And there's just a lot of those things that feel very, very real to it. But I also would be remiss if I didn't point out the amazing work that was done by Carolina Costa, their cinematographer in this film. I just thought the camera work was really special in this film.
I agree. Carolina is an incredible collaborator, and she brought so much vision to this film. In our very first meeting, she brought a series of photographs that she had taken of these, sort of abandoned school settings. And it really was like a starting point of our conversation of how do we show this space that something happened here? And that was a really, like a guiding principle throughout this film. And she was just so thoughtful in the way that she framed everything from more still static moments to when we're moving with the characters in the hallway in this sort of ghostly way. So, I just really couldn't have asked for a better collaborator, also because it was my first feature. She's someone who, came with a lot more experience than I did, which was something that I was really looking for. And I think that that really shows in her work.
It does. And it's not only the way that she shot the people in the film, but also the lighting, all those things you just mentioned, sort of the ghostly feel of them walking down the hall or even basketball practice, or it just there were just things that continue to provide you with this feel for the film, and I it just came across in every way. And I think, getting a little more geeky about our conversation again, I really thought the sound design and this and the soundtrack to the film also was an important part of telling the story as well. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to shout out to the composer, Andrew Orkin, who, in tandem with our music supervisor, Taylor Rowley, just really, nailed it with this film. Andrew Orkin, the composer, was in some ways like my first audience member. He's the first person who really saw cuts, and his interpretation of the story was really informative to the edit. And he just brought, also, like everybody else, just so much heart to this film.
I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Hannah Peterson. The film is called The Graduates, and it will be out in New York at the Metrograph on November 1st. And I have to believe we're coming out to LA, right? You're going to be out here for this with us.
Yeah, we'll be at Vidiots on November 11th and American Cinematheque on November 15th, which will have the entire or we'll have many of the cast there for a Q&A.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. American Cinematheque. Well, congrats on all of that. And Metrograph has become just such a hub of great filmmaking. I mean, it's always good to see something coming from them, and this is certainly the case here. The reaction to the film has been very good. As a young filmmaker, having worked with Chloe Zhao, and also I know that Sean Baker has had an impact on your career, and the presence of John Cho, not only in front of the camera but behind the camera. In front of the camera, he is this remarkable face that conveys so much in the film, so much about his character, but as well as the impact on his family, just does an incredibly good job. But also, just to talk a little bit about the guidance, advice that has been given to you by this trio of pretty remarkable filmmakers.
Yes, I'm really lucky to count those people as my former bosses, mentors, and now producers. Chloe was a really strong voice in my head throughout this entire filmmaking process, from the writing, especially in the edit, to when we were in production and going up. She's someone who has an incredible work ethic, and I think is someone who was always telling me to dig deeper, work harder, and that's something that helped me make this film in such a major way. The fact that John, came on to not only be in this film, but also to produce it was just a testament to his leadership and wanting to really advocate for this film and, the conversation that it's trying to have. He, is a father as well. And I think that, like, everybody has some touch point to the story in this film. And that's was really sort of what I was saying earlier. Was this, magnetizing force, and that created a really intimate and special environment to making the film that everybody, had a way in personally to this film. So I feel really lucky for that. And also, I sort of grew up as a filmmaker on Chloe sets and Sean Baker sets, and what I learned from just witnessing and watching them, from how they made a film to just generally how they treated people and how they managed their sets. Those are all these things that really were just a part of how I see filmmaking and the world and modes of production. And so, in ways both explicit and implicit, they were a big part of this film.
My congratulations, director, writer, editor. My goodness. And by the way, editing your own film, that's not often do you see
Crazy. I don't
filmmakers take
recommend
that.
it. That
What's that? What's that?
it's crazy. I don't recommend it.
Yes, okay. Yes, that would, I think, just generally how few do that would be, I think, kind of an indicator of just how crazy that can be. But you did it beautifully. And so. By the way, before I let you go, the film did premiere at the 2023 Tribeca Film Festival, where it was awarded Best Cinematography in a U.S. Narrative Film. And so, Carolina, congrats on that. And I look forward to more work from you, Hannah Peterson. I hope I assume that you're working on something now, and I wish the best for you in your career moving forward. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike. That means so much. And thank you for just your thoughtfulness and for taking the time to really see this film and to spread the word. I appreciate it more than you know.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Hannah Peterson, director, writer, editor of this wonderful film called The Graduates.
Thank
Just
you, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.